You know that Iowa City is the epicenter of wrestling. Now, it's time to show the world. The 2018 Freestyle World Cup is coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena April 7th and 8th. This is your chance to see not only the best in the United States, but the best in the world. Team USA will lay it on the line against the top seven wrestling countries in the world in this team competition. For ticket information, visit WorldCupIowaCity.com or call 1-800-IA-HAWKS.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Napa Know-How.
Hey, I'm Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Chevy. Here to tell you that when you spend $25 at Napa this month, you'll get a free number 9 Napa racing cap. So whether you're a fan of drivers with fast cars or just a fan of keeping the sun out of your eyes, you'll get a free number 9 racing cap just for spending $25 at Napa. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 3/31/18.
Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Man, thank you for the honesty. I appreciate it, and I'm sure the fans of your football team do too. Yesterday, Houston defensive tackle Ed Oliver said what everybody expected anyway, that he has one more season of college football and then he's leaving early for the NFL. The guy's a freak. He's been so good in his two seasons at Houston, and that's not a surprise. He was the number 4 player in the country when he signed with Houston, and he's the highest-ranked player to sign with a group of 5 teams since ESPN began its own recruiting rankings. I'm not crazy about how he's termed his college stint as a business trip, but again, thanks for the honesty. He said of his take on college coming out of high school, quote, "I knew I was going on a business trip," end quote. All right, fine. Refreshingly honest. Now he won't have to deal with people asking, "Hey, Ed, are you coming back next year or going pro?" He's announced it. It's public. Now he can go play football and hopefully still attend class. In 60 seconds, he has picks, possibilities, and pressure.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards Program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Synthetic High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $28.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Oh, John Dorsey needs to get this right. Sure, it's only his first offseason as Browns GM, but he was hired to get it right. This franchise has gone 1-31 over the past two seasons. They haven't been a legitimate threat as a franchise since the 80s. They're the Browns, but they have picks, numbers 1-4 in the NFL draft, and they have cash, sitting more than $100 million under the salary cap. There are several quarterbacks from which to choose, but after watching Saquon Barkley for 3 seasons at Penn State and then this weekend at the Combine, I wouldn't pick a QB with that number 1 pick. I'd take Barkley and then a QB at 4. But I'm not John Dorsey, fortunately for Cleveland. How in love is he with any of the individual QBs? Are any so must-have he takes them at 1? Or can he land a franchise guy in free agency? Whatever he does with picks and cash to make any other team jealous, the pressure is on. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
6:06, welcome back. Welcome to hour number 3, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way at least temporarily on all 3 KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM, as well as our FM frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. I say temporarily because Iowa City West and Muscatine about ready to tip off in Class 4A action at the state tournament, so sometime soon we will be stepping aside on the FM frequencies and sending you to Scott Unash's call at Wells Fargo Arena in downtown Des Moines. So be aware that the final 45 minutes, give or take, of tonight's program will finish up on 1600 and 1600 alone. Moving on, let's bring in Cody Goodwin from the Des Moines Register. We're going to talk a little college wrestling and look back on Iowa's fourth place finish at the Big Ten Wrestling Tournament last weekend at Michigan State. And Cody, how would you term Iowa's fourth place finish last weekend?
How about underwhelming? You know, they really kind of put themselves in a hole on the first day. You know, just kind of not a very stellar performance on Saturday's first session. And they never really fully recovered from it. I mean, they did some really good things in the later session. In the Russell backs, there were some guys that came all the way back through after losing in the quarterfinals. But there wasn't a lot of bonus points. There wasn't a lot of, they just kind of tripped up. Underwhelming is probably the word to use. I mean, they were supposed to really be in it with Michigan for third place, and they finished almost 30 points behind them when the dust settled. So underwhelming is probably a good term for it.
Now, Cody, when after Iowa lost a duel, I think about a month back, Tom Brands said that it's not the end of the world yet, but it's getting there. How did he handle the performance in East Lansing?
I mean, he more or less moved on from it pretty quickly. I mean, we talked to him about three times, and the frustration was kind of grew, you know, with each session. He was kind of frustrated with maybe a couple of individuals after the first session, and then after the second session on Saturday, he was pleased with how some guys bounced back, but also not pleased with how some other guys maybe wrestled on the front side, or at least just kind of the overall results. I mean, this is an Iowa team that can contend for a trophy here in about a week and a half in Cleveland. But, you know, the performance they put forth in East Lansing, that's not going to get it done in any capacity. I don't think they'll even be close if that's how they wrestle in Cleveland in 2 weeks. So he was frustrated. He made it very clear. He was at the end of everything on Sunday. He was point blank. You know, you're going to get the generic answer from me. We're moving forward to Cleveland. So, you know, they got a little bit of work ahead of them if they want to kind of make up the ground that, you know, they showed in East Lansing. I mean, that was not a very good performance.
Talking Iowa wrestling with Cody Goodwin for the Des Moines Register. What does Iowa need to do in Cleveland in order to put itself in a position to compete for a trophy?
Yeah, I mean, they need to score bonus points. They only had, I believe, 6 bonus point wins total at the Big Ten tournament, and that's out of 23 wins. That's just not going to get it done. I mean, Penn State, it might be a little unfair to compare Iowa to Penn State at this stage, but the Penn State had 6 pins on their own, you know, and Iowa had 6 total bonus point wins, and 3 of them came from Spencer Lee. So, you know, they got to score pins. They got to score majors. I can recall at least 2 instances where Iowa wrestlers won matches by 7 points. You know, 8 points is obviously the major. You kind of have to go get it to get those extra points, you know. They got to score bonus points. They really got to win. Overall, they went 23-20 in contested matches. Now, granted, part of that is, you know, Michael Kemmer defaulting out after losing in the semifinals at 157 pounds. That was more precautionary. It's fair to expect him to probably wrestle the entirety of the NCAA tournament. Alex Marinelli had a rough weekend, more or less, you know, after proving that he can hang with basically anybody at 165 pounds, you know, but he's still got to go do it. I mean, they're not just going to hand it to him because he was able to beat these guys in the duels. So, you know, bonus points. You know, they got to be able to come up with wins where they know they can get them. And, you know, they really got to go out and score. They really got to give themselves chances. Because I think I ran these numbers yesterday, too. In 43 contested matches, they had 55 total takedowns. And I believe 33 of them came from 4 guys, Spencer Lee, Michael Kemmer, Vince Turk, and Marinelli. So that's not going to cut it either. They really need to get the offense going. They really need to score bonus points. And, you know, they got to win some of those matches that they know they can to put themselves in position. Because even by then, you know, they can do all those things and maybe still not win a trophy because the margin for error is that slim. So it's, you know, it's going to be an interesting week in Cleveland next week. I'll say that.
Now, Cody, from a fan perspective, I read your mailbag today, and there seems to be 2 trains of thought. There's the cautious optimism of getting 9 guys through to Cleveland and in the NCAA tournament, and then there's the sky is falling group of fans after the fourth place finish at the Big Tens. Which do you get more of right now after last weekend?
absolutely that the sky is falling. You know, and part of that is because, you know, these wrestling fans are used to winning. They're used to, you know, fourth place is Iowa's worst finish at the Big Ten tournament under Brands. You know, they're normally 1, 2, or 3. So, you know, that's uncomfortable for them. You know, that's not something that they're used to, which I get it. It's fine. But, you know, at the same time, I think part of it's kind of warranted. You look at their 9 place winners, the 9 guys that they're taking to Cleveland, only 3 of them finished in the top 4 at their respective weight classes. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there was some good that came out of it. I think Vince Turk had a really nice weekend at 141 pounds. He's got the motor to, you know, maybe win a handful of matches in Cleveland. And those are points that, you know, that I don't know that Iowa maybe was counting on, or maybe they, you know, weren't anticipating. So, you know, there's some points that can be scored there, but there were a lot more underwhelming performances from some individuals. So, I get a lot more that the sky is falling. You know, yes, I get that there's reason for optimism, but, you know, at the same time, the margin for error is very slim. You know, I said that earlier, but they, you know, that's kind of where they're standing right now.
There's been a lot of talk, especially once the red shirt came off, of Spencer Lee becoming a 4-time NCAA champion. What's standing in his path from making that a reality, at least the first leg of that journey?
5 matches in Cleveland. I mean, that's he's good enough to win it this year. I've maintained that because, you know, I know how good he is. I've seen him wrestle. You know, he's lost twice this year, and both of them, I think, were, what, 3-1 and 2-1. So, I mean, he almost beat Nathan Tomasello again this weekend. He got in on 2 really nice shots. He was able to, you know, get Tomasello on the ground. He just wasn't able to fully finish the takedown. You know, and that's an improvement from the last time he wrestled him, because when they wrestled in the duel, Lee won that match 3-2 thanks to a riding time point. And I can't recall him, you know, threatening as much as he did on to score in neutral position. So you can tell that he's making some strides there. It kind of depends on the draw and where he might see Tomasello in the bracket if they're going to wrestle, you know, a 3rd time this year. But, you know, also Ronnie Bresser from Morgan State, that's the guy that beat him at the Midlands. He might see him somewhere in the bracket too. It all depends on, you know, that information will come out tomorrow evening. But, you know, I mean, he's good enough to do it. It's just a matter of going and doing it.
Is he Iowa's best chance for a national champion in 2018, or does somebody else stick out at you?
Either him or Brandon Sorensen, probably, only because, you know, after watching Sorensen wrestle Penn State Zane Rutherford, they're kind of the undisputed number 1 and number 2 at 149 pounds. I mean, Sorensen, that's a match Sorensen can win, because, I mean, he almost did it this weekend. He lost 2-0, but he nearly scored on a flurry, which would have, I think, effectively tied it, because Rutherford had a riding time point at that point in the match. But, you know, I mean, he's right there. That was, you know, I didn't get to see the dual match last year where Rutherford ended up winning in the tiebreaker 9-8. But, I mean, that's as close as he's been, from my point of view, to beating Rutherford. So I think Sorensen and Lee are both, those are both potential finalists. Michael Kemmerer, if he comes out and he's fully healthy and he's able to kind of get his motor going, he's another guy that could make a run to the finals. Alex Marinelli as well at 165. You know, he's good enough to beat anybody at 165 pounds, but, you know, like I said, it's a matter of going and doing it. So, you know, I mean, they could have as many as 4 finalists. They could have, you know, as little as 0. It just kind of depends on, you know, which wrestlers show up Thursday and Friday to get it done.
Let's stay in that same vein. What's the worst case scenario for Iowa in Cleveland?
Let me think. Probably, I mean, they could finish as low as 8. I mean, that's, you know, because you if you look at it, you know, this is kind of how I viewed it. You got Ohio State and Penn State. Those are kind of the powerhouses this season. Those guys are going to kind of duke it out for 1st and 2nd. But then, I mean, you've got 5 or 6 teams that could finish, you know, 3rd and 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. So, I mean, I was in that mix. You know, I think this weekend revealed that, you know, again, there is a slim margin for error. But, you know, they're in that mix. It's probably them, Oklahoma State, Missouri, Lehigh, NC State. I mean, there's a handful of really good teams that could, you know, ultimately come away with a trophy behind Ohio State and Penn State. So, best case scenario, everything goes to plan and they end up taking 3rd. Worst case scenario, you know, they turn in a weekend like they just did and, you know, they could finish 7th or 8th. You know, that's entirely possible.
Now, Cody, I want to ask you, if the worst case scenario does come true, and I feel like we're talking about this with every coach at Iowa, whether it's Fran McCaffrey or Kirk Ferentz or Tom Brands, because the extensions have been handed out to all of them. But how uncomfortable is this offseason going to be if they perform in Cleveland like they did in East Lansing this past weekend?
I don't think it'll be as uncomfortable as maybe people think it should be, you know, because he did just get an extension in September. You know, they're talking about building a new Iowa wrestling facility for both, you know, the Hawkeyes and the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, their postgraduate program, you know, for guys who like, you know, Thomas Gilman, Corey Clark, Sammy Brooks, who are, you know, chasing international accolades. So, you know, I that's something that they believe is necessary to kind of bring in some of these superstar recruits that, you know, Ohio State and Penn State and, you know, to certain degrees, you know, Oklahoma State and NC State are bringing in as well. So, you know, I don't know that it'll be as uncomfortable as people maybe want it to be. You know, I think hot seat talk is maybe somewhat warranted, but at the same time, you can tell that, you know, with this discussion going of a brand new wrestling facility, with the fact that they're bringing in guys like Spencer Lee and Jacob Warner and Max Murin, that, you know, there still is a priority here to try and get Iowa back to the top of college wrestling, or at least in a position where they can compete every handful of years. So, you know, once they get this facility built and maybe you get through a few more recruiting cycles, then you can maybe step back and assess, you know, kind of where Tom Brand stands on all this. But there is a concerted effort both from the program and from the university to try and get Iowa back on top. You know, and until they're able to kind of step back and see what the full results of that are, I don't think hot seat talk is really, you know, I think it's kind of silly at this point.
Cody Goodwin with us from the Des Moines Register talking wrestling ahead of the NCAA championships in Cleveland. How about you and I? Can the Panthers put together a showing and maybe crack the top, let's say, 12 or 10 places?
I think top 12. If they come out guns blazing and they do, they can. Top 12, absolutely, I think, a possibility. They've got the firepower with guys like Max Thompson and Taylor Lewan and Drew Foster. You know, I really like Jacob Schwarm at 125 pounds. He's the kind of guy who can, you know, he can probably rattle off a handful of wins because he's a pinner and he's really explosive. And, you know, he can probably catch a few guys and make a run at 125. They also got Jacob Holschlag through at 197. Josh Albers looked really nice at 141 pounds. That's a really deep weight, but, you know, you can consider Albert probably an All-American contender there. I like that UNI team. They're, you know, they're tough. They're scrappy, you know, and they kind of know what it takes to, you know, get it done in a tournament setting. I mean, they took second at their very first Big 12 tournament this past weekend. You know, they finished behind Oklahoma State. That's another one of those teams that's in a fight really for, you know, third through eighth probably. But, you know, they finished ahead of South Dakota State, a team that beat them in the duel. It's a really fun team to watch, a tough team. They finished ahead of North Dakota State, ahead of Wyoming. You know, that they do really well in tournament settings, and I think they're going to surprise a lot of people in Cleveland, and, you know, next week.
Before we let you go, what were your thoughts on Kevin Dresser's first season at Iowa State? I know progress was made, but the future seems to be bright there in Ames.
Absolutely. Yeah, they made a lot of progress this year. At least I thought they did, just from, you know, what I was able to see. They were dropping duels that, you know, or, you know, that kind of showed where they were as a program. I mean, they had hit rock bottom when they were losing some of these teams back in December and, you know, even some of the later parts of November. But they were able to kind of flip it around come January. I mean, they weren't beating these superstar teams like the Iowas and the Oklahoma States and the UNIs, you know, but they were winning duels that, you know, they should win. You know, and that's not something I don't think they could have said earlier in the season. So, you know, they were making strides there. I really like some of the progress of some individual wrestlers like Ian Parker, like Chase Straw, like Sam Colbrey. Marcus Harrington, too, is kind of an undersized heavyweight. You know, they only pushed one guy through to Cleveland, but the future is definitely bright there because on top of a handful of these guys that are making strides, they got a couple of guys in red shirt that Kevin Dresser really likes coming in next year, plus a really good recruiting class that has some of the nation's top talent, plus some of Iowa's top talent as well. So, you know, I'm really high on the 2019-2020 Iowa State wrestling team because that's when a lot of those pieces are going to finally come together. And, you know, I think that team could actually jump back into the top 15, top 12 maybe, you know, just based on talent alone. Obviously, they still got to go do it. But, yeah, the future's definitely bright names. I liked what I saw from them this year.
All right, you can follow him on Twitter for all your updates from the NCAA Wrestling Championships in Cleveland. Cody Goodwin from the Des Moines Register. Thanks for the time, Cody.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
6:21, and I think it's going to be a while before that seat gets too warm. The question that I would ask, and I'm positive we've got some Iowa wrestling fans out there that were listening to that segment. The question that I would have for you is, if not Tom Brands, then who? 319-366-1600. Serious question. If not Tom Brands, then who? Not saying that he's the be-all, end-all. You can't say Dan Gable, by the way, either. I think Coach Gable is pretty firmly entrenched in retirement. But I think it's going to take a little while for that seat to get too warm. I like, as Cody pointed out, the effort to expand and grow the wrestling facilities at Carver-Hawkeye Arena and to try to keep up with the Joneses from that standpoint. We've seen Iowa make tremendous strides with football and basketball, but wrestling, as far as facilities go, has sort of been third in the pecking order. Once they get that, then maybe they can start making a little headway into that battle with Penn State and Ohio State, who seem to have risen and become the cream of the crop in the Big Ten. Again, very hard for Iowa wrestling fans to look at and acknowledge, but fourth place in the Big Ten at the Big Ten tournament, worst finish under Tom Brand since he took over as head coach of the team coming in from Virginia Tech.
And it's kind of interesting that, and maybe it's not because the athletic director seems to have a pattern here, but with every coach, and people are asking us, well, why are you not talking about, after every loss, pretty much, why are we not talking about the hot seat at this point? The contract gets brought up, and it's the same thing for Tom Brands. I don't think he should be on the hot seat. I think it is ridiculous at this point to talk about him being on the hot seat, but he got an extension once again, which I think goes through sometime in the mid-2020s, and it's not a discussion point at this point. As Cody said,
I just want to see who gets a random contract extension next. We should play contract extension roulette here on the program someday. But I'm a big fan of Tom Brands. I think he and Terry and the coaching staff are fighting an uphill battle right now. The winds have changed in college wrestling in the last 20 years, and the talent has consolidated, and it's made teams a lot better, a lot quicker. And those days of Iowa running off championship after championship, not only in the Big Ten, but at the NCAA level, are long gone. Doesn't necessarily mean that Iowa can't get back to the point where it's competing and winning championships, but the competition just within the Big Ten has gotten more difficult, let alone once you look at the national picture. Let's go to the phone lines here, 366-1600, bring Mike in Cedar Rapids. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm not necessarily a wrestling fan, but you brought up a good question, which is, if not Brands, who? I don't have a clue. But isn't it good for wrestling that Iowa isn't winning it every year? I know we've heard that before, but as much as we'd like to win national titles every year, it seems like wrestling programs were being dropped around the country and the sport was kind of dying off. And that big picture, isn't it okay to let some other schools have some excitement and get their programs going and win some championships? Isn't it overall healthy for wrestling? And if that's the case, I think Brands gets even a longer leash.
Appreciate the totally appreciate the perspective, Mike. I'll disagree respectfully on that. I think it's good for wrestling to have a villain, and for years, decades, if you will, it was Iowa. The program had a target on its back, and I think this is the same whether you're talking NCAA wrestling or you're talking about the NFL or the NBA. Leagues and sports are at their best when there's sort of a dominant or a couple dominant teams that have that evil empire mentality. Not to crib too much from the Yankees, but I've always said and I've always maintained baseball is at its best when the Yankees are good, when the Red Sox are good. I think the NFL is at its best when the Cowboys are good, when the Patriots are good. And I know people out there, I hate the Patriots. I hate the Cowboys. I hate the Yankees. I hate the Red Sox. What do you see how it inspires strong feelings in you? You care a little bit more, especially when you see those programs or those professional franchises, I should say, winning more often than not. And I don't think you'd get a single Iowa fan going along with the premise that it's good for wrestling that Iowa's letting other teams. They're not letting other schools win, other schools are winning, and Iowa's trying to keep up with the Joneses, and they're falling behind. That's where the problem is here. But again, you've had wholesale changes in the sport. You have talent that there's fewer places for talent to go to at this point. So you're getting teams that are stronger, and wrestling, prep wrestling in Pennsylvania and Ohio is better than it is in the state of Iowa. I know that stings. I know it hurts for some people to hear that, but there's a reason, a number of reasons, but there is a reason why Cale Sanderson, who is a legend in the sport of wrestling, who could have been to Iowa State wrestling what Fred Hoiberg was to Iowa State basketball, Cale Sanderson. You're talking about the Mount Rushmore of Iowa athletes, probably, state of Iowa athletes. He left Iowa State for Penn State. There's a reason. Millions of them. Dollars, support, infrastructure, the high school wrestling program. I mean, go on and on. The club program that contributes to things at Penn State. So Iowa's fighting an uphill battle, and I think you run into this issue where it sort of feels a little bit like Nebraska football, where you're pining for days gone by, and it just takes somebody to have to sit you down and point out, hey, it's 2018, and the good old days are just that, the good old days. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can't have success in the future, but what Iowa is going to have to enjoy is the future. It can't live off the past, because living off the past isn't getting the program anywhere anymore. And if fans want to live in the past, fantastic, more power to them. That's not doing anybody any good.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that sports are better with a villain, but the argument, and I don't even really think it's an argument at this point. I don't think at this point you can say that Iowa is the villain anymore. They're not that.
They're not,
top.
And they haven't been for a long time.
Penn State has won 6 of the last 7 national championships. I think at this point, based on sample size, it's okay to label Penn State as that top dog villain of the sport.
They are, but they haven't. They're not as established with a long-term history of dominance.
No, I'm not saying that they were the dominant force
everybody,
that Iowa was, but they are the current.
Yes.
At least the present villain of 2018 only.
My premise is that you've got these historic programs, and I would put, you know, Oklahoma State in there as well. Oklahoma State was to wrestling before Iowa was to wrestling, but both of those programs are on the outside looking in right now at Penn State and Ohio State. So it's going to be interesting to see the direction moving forward. And Spencer Lee coming to Iowa was a huge coup. I think there are good things ahead for the program. I think they desperately need to get an infusion of cash and facilities upgrades, which they're working on. But it's tough going for Iowa wrestling fans, because I know how much that program means to the state of Iowa. I know how much it means to wrestling fans. And nobody ever enjoys looking in the mirror and realizing that their best days are behind them. And unfortunately, it's almost to the point where you can say that with Iowa wrestling, but they can't turn back the hands of time, but they can do what they can in the present, in the here and now, to address things moving forward in the future and get better. But that's what we're talking about, a fourth place finish at Big Tens being unacceptable, and underwhelming was Cody's term for that. And I completely agree with that. And you still to this, I was doing show prep earlier today, and I did a double take again looking at Iowa in fourth place. It just seems out of place. We'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. High school basketball underway on our FM frequencies, so 1600 AM from here on out. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
The quality of the product that we are offering is going to be much higher than at a box store. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. We are HP sales and service authorized, and we're able to get better products that clients will be able to use. It will last longer in their business. I can sell a laptop that will come with a 3-year warranty because it's a higher quality.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hey, basketball fan, plan to stream tournament games on your device? Don't let buffering put a damper on the madness. Say goodbye to timeouts and catch every play with IMON's Best of the Corridor Internet. For a limited time, get 80 megabit internet for just $50 a month. That's over 40% off standard rates. This offer is backed by IMON's responsive, local customer service. Plus, sign up before March 31st and lock in your price until 2020. Visit imon.net/radio to get started. New customer offer only. 2-year agreement required. Additional restrictions apply.
March Markdown Madness is going on now at Jungi Automotive Group. I'm Jason Jungi, inviting you to shop one of our 3 corridor locations for slam dunk savings this month. You can also get entered to win free gas for a year. Jungi offers you a wide selection of brands and competitive pricing on new and used vehicles, and our service centers always give you fast and affordable auto care done right. Visit one of our 3 Jungi Automotive Group locations today to find your next vehicle and enter to win our grand prize gas giveaway.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There is a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
6:34. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Tuesday night, March 6th. The boys' state basketball tournament has been underway for the last couple days in downtown Des Moines, Wells Fargo Arena. Scott Unash on the call of Iowa City West and Muscatine right now. Kyle's going to give you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Qualifiers for the NCAA Wrestling Championships were announced today, and the Hawkeyes are going to send 9 guys to Cleveland next week. Spencer Lee, Vincent Turk, Brandon Sorensen, Michael Kemmerer, Alex Marinelli, Joe Gunther, Mitch Bowman, Cash Wilkie, and Sam Stoll. UNI will take 6, Jacob Schworn, Josh Albert, Max Thompson, Taylor Luan, Drew Foster, and Jacob Holschlag, and Iowa State will send 1, Jarrett Deegan. UNI football also announced today that Oregon Duck lineman Ryan Clanton will be joining the football staff as an offensive line coach. A pair of local 3A teams squared off in the boys' state basketball tournament earlier today, with Cedar Rapids Xavier beating Marion 67-60 to move on to the semifinals, where they're going to face Glenwood on Thursday. Glenwood, by the way, made a 20-point comeback today on Norwalk. Our show is going to be exclusively on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, through the rest of the hour because we've got another very juicy matchup from Des Moines. It's going to be Class 4A top-ranked Iowa City West versus Muscatine, featuring 2 future Hawkeyes in Patrick McCaffrey and the all-time leading scorer in 4A, Joe Wieskamp. You'll be able to hear that on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. They're going to be tipping right about now. And then after our show, we've got another good NBA game heading your way. The Rockets lead the Western Conference and have won 15 games in a row. Tonight, they take on Russell Westbrook in the Big 3 in Oklahoma City, beginning at 7 on the main gym.
6:36, we'll step aside and take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll revisit the KGYM poll question. Take your phone calls and texts at 319-366-1600 and get you ready for a Wednesday edition of the program. Back with more after this.
So you're interviewing a candidate, and he starts asking you questions. You're surprised. You're supposed to be the one leading the meeting. How does he know so much about the culture, the leadership, and where did he find out about the takeover? Don't panic. It's not you. This is what it feels like to interview a well-prepared candidate. He's read about your company on Indeed.com and has immersed himself in your culture. Or he may just be the world's most perfect interviewee. Either way, he's making your job easier. So enjoy it.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies, from both employers as well as past and present employees. You can research work-life balance, salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more, helping you to make informed decisions, all on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site, according to Comscore total visits.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Welcome back to Sports View. Next topic. Is it really all about power? Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
638, who wants Le'Veon Bell? 319-366-1600. The Steelers, as expected, placing the franchise tag on the 26-year-old running back, former Big Ten standout. He's done things that no other running back his age has done in 5 years in the NFL. His average yards from scrimmage per game number better than some of the greats in the game. And yet here we are, second year in a row, the Steelers have used the franchise tag on Le'Veon Bell. And now people are talking about the possibility that Pittsburgh could be looking at finding a trade partner for him. So who steps up to the plate? Where does he fit? It's a good team for Le'Veon Bell.
Anywhere. Any team would take that kind of running back because he's such a nuanced runner to the point where he's so patient behind the line of scrimmage. He's versatile. He's the most well-rounded running back in the NFL. And I think that the fact that nobody wants to pay him a long-term contract is more of the indictment against the value of running backs than it is against Le'Veon Bell. The fact that we've talked about this over and over again, but teams don't want to pay veteran players because they can go back and they can draft a running back that may not be quite as good as Le'Veon Bell, but he'll get the job done for a couple years at a lower price. So Le'Veon Bell wants $14 million a year over a long-term contract, and we go back to the battle between the owners and the players as far as contracts, not only going on in Major League Baseball, but they're going on in the NFL, and they've been going on for quite some time. So somebody will step to the plate, I think, but I guess I can't be too sure about that. But he can fit. Any team would take Le'Veon Bell.
CBS Sports has five teams that would be a good fit for him. Number one, the Oakland Raiders.
Like I said, you want him in a situation where he can win, or at least if you're him, you want to be in a situation where you can win. And being with Derek Carr and the rest of those weapons on that the Raiders have on the offensive side of the football would be a good fit.
I actually think number two on the list is a pretty intriguing possibility here, although I don't think Le'Veon Bell probably wants to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they have released Doug Martin. They don't have a starting running back. He would be a very good fit there. Now, also on the list are the Jets, the Browns, and the Browns have the number one overall pick in the draft. They very well could use it on Saquon Barkley, as we discussed earlier in the program. The Penn State running back is now, according to odds makers, the betting favorite to be taken number one overall. Although, again, if I had to wager, I would think it's going to be a quarterback, and Barkley falls to number two, which, oh, by the way, the number five team on the list, the New York Giants, who I think will ultimately wind up drafting Saquon Barkley. But there you go. Five options for Le'Veon Bell, who today was hit with the franchise tag. He will make a career-high $14.5 million next year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they are not stepping up to the plate with a long-term deal for him. And like you said, Alex, it has more to do with the position that he plays than his talent level or anything about the man. The running back position in the NFL is extremely precarious. You can draft a Saquon Barkley, or you can wait six or seven rounds and take a flyer on drafting somebody and have him pan out. You can get a guy off the waiver wire, throw him out there, and have a superstar. The shelf life of a running back in the NFL is extremely short. And this, not to always draw parallels to the sport of baseball, but to me, it's very similar to what we're seeing with these free agents who are unsigned as spring training continues to go on. They want to be paid, and teams don't want to pay them based on their past performance, which is completely sound business. You don't want to pay somebody for what they did for another team 3 years ago. You want to pay them for what you expect them to give you performance-wise for the years ahead. But Bell, obviously the numbers are there, but you know the lifespan of an NFL running back. You know how foolish it would be to give him a huge deal, even though all of the money in the NFL is not guaranteed. A large portion of it most likely would be. So you've got a guy who's unhappy with his status, and there's not much he can do about it. He can always retire. Well, I'd rather play and make some money than retire and not make any money at all. He doesn't really have any recourse here, especially now that the Steelers have placed the franchise tag on him.
Which will pay him
$14.5 million.
He wants 16. But yeah, I think that it's going to get interesting. You've said it. You think that baseball's heading down a downward path as far as the relationship between the players and the owners, and I think that that is even more so, and I have said this numerous times, that is even more so the case in the NFL. And if the owners think in 2021 that this type of business is going to the CBA, the current CBA that was signed to avoid more of a work stoppage the last time that these two came to a snag that cut into the NFL calendar, if they think that the owners think they're going to be able to get the players to sign a deal that's similar to this one that limits their ability to get paid as a rookie and basically makes it so that it's a long cycle of drafted players and not paying NFL veterans, then we are definitely heading for a work stoppage in 2021, and it's going to cut into the season. Might miss an entire season.
Couple wide receivers that are now free agents, Sammy Watkins and Allen Robinson. Which one of those guys, if you were an NFL GM looking to give your quarterback a target to throw to, who's more intriguing there?
Bears, are you listening? Bears, hello, Matt Nagy. Do you see what Sean McVay did last offseason? The Rams didn't have any offensive firepower at all. He goes out and signs Sammy Watkins. Goes out and signs or gets Robert Wood or acquires Watkins in a trade, gets Robert Woods, and they had a patchwork enough core of receivers to get by this year, along with that good running game. Same thing in place in Chicago. I think it's a little bit unfair to compare Matt Nagy to Sean McVay because it's turning out that Sean McVay might be one of the most genius football minds in the sport right now. But Allen Robinson, to me, is the number one target between those two. I thought that he was mostly underutilized because he didn't have a quarterback to get him the football and the fact that they went heavy on the run. I think Sammy Watkins is a good number three receiver, but injuries have limited what he can do in his career, and you always have to keep it in the back of your mind that he might get his season might get cut short. So I think in pretty much just about every category, Allen Robinson on another team's probably a number one target. You're not, of course, in football, you're worried about everybody's durability, but you're not worrying about it as much as you are with Sammy Watkins, who his entire career in Buffalo was hindered because of injuries.
You may look at that and go, why wouldn't the Rams use the franchise tag on Sammy Watkins? They had a choice between Watkins and LaMarcus Joyner, and the price tag on a safety as opposed to a wide receiver is about $4.5 million difference. So they went with the $11.2 million for Joyner as opposed to the $16 million that it would have cost to keep Watkins in the fold. So Sammy Watkins is out there on the free agent market along with Allen Robinson, and I think Allen Robinson would be a tremendous addition to just about any team that's out there. Very interesting developments for the NFL. And another name that comes up almost every year with the franchise tag, we discussed this earlier, Kirk Cousins, not tagged by the Redskins, so he is officially hitting the market as a free agent. And that means he's going to be able to decide where he plays next. And there are a lot of people who are very excited about possibility, the prospect of him choosing the Minnesota Vikings, especially given where the Vikings are with their defensive unit, given what the Vikings did this year with Case Keenum of all quarterbacks. You start to, if you're a Vikings fan, allow your mind to drift to the thought of having a competent quarterback in Kirk Cousins running that offense with that defense providing support on the other side of the football. Very intriguing.
There were reports that earlier today that the Vikings are prepared to offer him a 3-year, $91 million deal. That Kirk Cousins, that is. And if that is the case, then Vikings fans, get your jerseys printed.
While we're talking about Minnesota teams and offers, what do you make of the Twins and the report that Minnesota offered Lance Lynn 2 years and $20 million and he turned it down? Not interested.
Might as well try. Where the market is, I don't know what Lance Lynn is asking, and I don't know what he's going to get. He's not going back to the Cardinals. It seems that those bridges have been burned from both sides, and there's not a lot of mutual interest from either side to bring him back. But what is he going to get? What is the value of a solid number three starter on a good team? And what is somebody now in this all of a sudden new market going to pay him? I think he could, of all of the pitchers that are still out there, whether it's Alex Cobb or Jake Arrieta or Lance Lynn, he might be the last one to sign. I think I'm almost 70% sure that he probably doesn't end up on an opening day roster.
Who was it a couple years ago that wound up going, I think it was into May, before they wound up?
Kyle Loesch, maybe?
Kyle Loesch, that's exactly what I'm thinking, with the Brewers,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's probably, if you're Lance Lynn, maybe that's your best case scenario right now. Maybe you continue to work out, train, stay in shape. And I hate to say this, you wouldn't root for it publicly if you were Lance Lynn, but late April, early May, a contender loses somebody in their rotation to a long-term, maybe season-ending injury. They don't necessarily have depth in their farm system to turn to, or they don't trust a rookie. All of a sudden, your cell phone starts to vibrate or ring, depending on whether you've got your ringer on, and then you pick up the phone and say, hey, what's going on? Yeah, no, I'm in the best shape of my life. Drop me right into that 4 or 5 spot in your rotation. Turn me loose. 2 years, $20 million, I think that's fair value for Lance Lynn, and I don't necessarily think that it's that he doesn't want to play for the Twins. I think it's he thinks he's going to get more money than that. But this has just been such a strange offseason. I mean, I don't know. If you're not paying Jake Arrieta, you're not paying Lance Lynn. I mean, as long as Arrieta's hanging out there, that's a guy that a team can go out and give a contract to and have several decent seasons. Lance Lynn, I'm not so sure about there, but he's an innings eater and a guy that would be a good fit on the back end of a rotation. But unfortunately, between in-house options, other guys out there that are cheaper, that's the route that teams are going right now. So there's a lot of Lance Lynns that are out there looking for a job. I don't know. I don't know if I'm him if I turn down 2 years and $20 million from the Twins, given where we're at right now. But he reportedly did just that over the weekend.
Of the three names that we just brought up, Lance Lynn, Jake Arrieta, Alex Cobb, do any of them get signed before opening day?
I've got to think that there's going to be an injury over the next 3 weeks in spring training to somebody's rotation. Somebody is going to succumb to Tommy John, or there's going to be a sore shoulder or elbow where teams are going to be worried about long-term effects, and they're going to go out and sign. Alex Cobb is a guy that I'm surprised has not found a home yet. And I know there was a lot of scuttlebutt around him and the Cubs in the offseason. They decided to go in the direction with Tyler Chatwood, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel, which I think is going to be ultimately a good move on their part. But I would think that he could probably find a team relatively quickly. Arrieta is the guy that I'm interested in watching, though, because obviously with his agent being Scott Boras and the length of the contract and the dollars and cents that they're looking for, I just can't see teams right now stepping up to the plate and doling out that offer. And I like him personally, appreciate everything he did for the Cubs, but he's asking a lot. And again, in 2018, I think you've got a lot of smart people running front offices now, and they realize that you're not paying 2018 prices for 2016 performances, because he pitched for the Cubs in 2016. He's pitching for your team in 2018. You're paying not for what you're going to get. You're paying for what he did for another team, which just does not make sense. If you guys pick up where I'm going on that. We'll step aside, take a quick break. Iowa City West is leading Muscatine at Wells Fargo Arena, Class 4A play. Kyle will have a score update for you and more. Our final big board update right around the corner back after this.
A tree is a thing of beauty until it ends up on your house, car, or head.
Out! Out!
Unfortunately, all trees die, and when they do, they fall on your house, car, and head.
We need a medic!
That's where Frank's Tree Service comes in. They'll come look at your trees for free. Frank's Tree Service is a lot cheaper than a carpenter to fix the hole in your house, a body shop to fix your car, and a doctor to fix the hole in your head.
Start CPR.
Frank's Tree Service offers 24-hour emergency service or preventative care at 319-366-4747. That's 319-366-4747.
Had a couple of drinks watching today's game? Should you be behind the wheel? Buzzed driving is drunk driving. It's easy to tell when someone has had too much to drink. But what about when someone has too many to drive? The legal limit in Iowa is .08, and law enforcement is cracking down on all drivers behind the wheel and over the limit. Don't underestimate your limit. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
6:55, welcome back in. Should players who go undrafted in the NBA draft be allowed to return to school? It's the Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com today. Let's take a look ahead to the program tomorrow. We got another opportunity for you to take home a brand new watch from Hertine and Stocker Jewelers as we spring ahead for Daylight Savings Time. Wednesday also means the 6 o'clock showdown. Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, will join us for a season-ending wrap-up as we look back on a disappointing year for Panther basketball. And we can't get out of here without a basketball update from Wells Fargo Arena. Kyle's got your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night.
Qualifiers for the NCAA Wrestling Championships were announced today, and the Hawkeyes are going to send 9 guys to Cleveland next week. Spencer Lee, Vincent Turk, Brandon Sorensen, Michael Kemmerer, Alex Marinelli, Joe Gunther, Mitch Bowman, Cash Wilkie, and Sam Stoll. UNI will take 6. Jacob Schwarm, Josh Alber, Max Thompson, Taylor Lewin, Drew Foster, and Jacob Holschlag. And Iowa State's going to send 1, Jarrett Deegan. UNI football also announced today that former Oregon Duck lineman Ryan Clanton will be joining the football staff as an offensive line coach. A pair of local 3A teams squared off in the boys' state basketball tournament earlier today, with Cedar Rapids Xavier beating Marion 67-60 to move on to the semifinals, where they're going to face Glenwood on Thursday. Glenwood, by the way, made a 20-point comeback today on Norwalk. Our show finished up on 1600 AM for the last hour or so because we've got another very juicy matchup from Des Moines. It's Class 4A top-ranked Iowa City West versus Muscatine, featuring two future Hawkeyes in Patrick McCaffrey and the all-time leading scorer in 4A, Joe Wieskamp. You can hear that on the North and South Gym FM frequencies. And right now, when I came in here at least, Iowa City West was up 24-12 with just under 4 minutes to go. And then after our show, we've got another good NBA game heading your way. The Rockets lead the Western Conference and have won 15 games in a row, and tonight they'll take on Russell Westbrook and the Big Three in Oklahoma City beginning at 7 on the main gym.
Well, we'll see whether Joe Wieskamp and Muscatine have enough firepower to take down Patrick McCaffrey and Iowa City West. That game drawing a little bit closer, 24-17 right now. Scott Unash on the call on the FM frequencies, as Kyle just mentioned. You can catch it as the show winds down here. Appreciate you listening tonight, and you can join us again here tomorrow for your chance to take home a brand new watch from Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Thanks for listening.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do they do?
They hold out?
They